But let me just say that we would like to see this checklist reflecting these three policy communities, and we would like to see it being a pragmatic tool. If you read, perhaps you had the chance to look a bit at the competition and the regulatory quality pillar of this checklist, you have seen that this has gone through a similar process as it is happening now. It has been discussed among the experts of APEC and OECD, and I think we can see that the comments and the discussions have really enriched the way that these questions are asked, the areas that they cover, and I think they have also benefited from the fact that the subtleties of the 44 countries that are members of APEC and OECD find their space in the questions. But I'm sure more can be done. I just would like to make sure that when you talk about the trade pillar for the next 2 days, the trade-related questions, that we there again use this time to make sure that the questions that we raise are the right ones, that they are asked in the right way, and that they leave room for these kinds of differences that simply exist. And I have to say, this morning I had a little discussion where we came across what I would call the reality check. We have to make sure that regulatory policies, the questions that we raise, are really confronting reality in countries, its potential, but also its constraints, and certainly, I think, the experiences when something did go wrong. Let us be honest. Otherwise, we don't want to have an instrument that just is well done for when it is nice weather. Let's just also take it when it's a bit more rainy and gray. So let's be real in the kind of questions that we want to ask. And I think that as this discussion goes on now for today and tomorrow, I hope that we will make not just progress in the output, in the product that we would like to generate, but also make sure that we have among us here a growing understanding what we really mean by not just the checklist, but also by regulatory reform. The process itself is also, I think, a very important contribution to this understanding. My last remark, but I would like to make this at the beginning of this discussion. This is, of course, an instrument, a policy instrument, that addresses people that are responsible for regulatory policy in capitals. And in that sense, it reflects experience and it reflects technical understanding. What we thought, Ernesto and I and others, we thought that it would be useful to have an approval of this instrument at the highest possible level of each of the organizations. An approval that would say, yes, this is a kind of instrument that is relevant for many countries, and yes, in the wisdom of both organizations, this is something that we should endorse at a political level. And why would that be important? Because if you look at, let me just say, if you look at the first recommendation that we had in the OECD on regulatory reform, it said no progress without political commitment to such a reform agenda. And I think an approval of these instruments would also generate a first degree of support at the highest political level for regulatory reform. So the idea that it cannot just be a technical discussion, but that we also need to be prepared to become a politically approved instrument, that I think we would need to launch today and would hope we get to that stage, as Alan was saying, over the next 9 months, and hopefully can then call this a joint APEC-OECD instrument for regulatory reform. Thank you very much.